Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning. Hey. Oh, wow. How are we doing? Excellent. Excellent. Hey, can we make some noise for, we got Metro in the house. What's up, Metro? Make some noise for them. Can you do that? What's up, guys? Yes, yes, and we got live stream too. We got live stream people in the house, and so we're glad you're here. Regardless how you tuned in or from where you tuned in, we are so glad you're here. And by the way, you guys look beautiful. Oh, okay. Okay, yes. Okay, you do. Boo. Okay, so, hey, we're starting a brand new conversation. If you're a guest here, we do series. And so what we just concluded is we went through the book, The Letters of John. So, and we had a conversation really about what the gospel is, what God's message is. And so this series is, in fact, is all about the message. And so Hope for All is our series. It's a three-part series. And then we're going to go right into Easter, Palm Sunday. We're going to have Pastor Theo in the house, if you remember him. He's going to be, he's awesome. And so it's going to be a great season. If you're looking at the t-shirt, if you're thinking, by the way, if you're a volunteer, you're going to get one of these, so we will hook you up. Not today, because they only made one or two. I've got one. Kristen, she's got one. That's about it. But our hope is that we as a church would again embrace that this call that God has on our lives to be the loudest voice saying that there is hope for all because of what God has done in our lives and through us and in us. So glad you are here. We'll jump into the series. I want to ask you this question. Okay, so. If you're watching online, let me ask you this. I want you to picture if you see someone on the street and they're about to pass, they're like soliciting, right? They're giving you something. What do you do? What is your natural reaction? You take it? How many of you ignore them? Totally ignore them. Okay, we got some. Metro, ignore them. How many of you know people who are super excited and go towards them? You love those people, right? Stop it, Mom. Don't do it. No, they're not giving you anything. It's a whatever. I was in Charleston a couple of weeks ago, and we were there for a service, the first Wednesday service, worship service, at a church that I came out of called Seacoast Church. And I think I talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago. So we were there. And by the way, we are doing a first Wednesday service, which means it's a worship and prayer, and we're just going to practice the power and the presence of God. It's just really going to be a powerful service where we're just going to make room to just be in God's presence. Anyways, you need to be there. You need to be there, Metro. You need to be there online. People get there. It's April 3rd. April 3rd. Can you say April 3rd? April 3rd, 7 p.m., childcare is provided. All right, back to the story. So we're in Charleston, walking the streets. There's this person giving out this. This is a tract, a Christian tract. How many of you have ever gotten a Christian tract before? Okay, how many of you have ever been blessed by a Christian tract before? Just blessed by one of these guys. So this is what it looks like, okay? How many of you have given out one? Okay, good. No one here. I don't know about Metro. I don't know. But so this is the one I got. I got pictures to show you what it looks like. Okay? This is what it looks like. It's fatal decision, friends. Fatal decision. The whole premise of this booklet or this track is about the fact that you are infected. Okay? I got a picture to show you how infected you are right here, really quick. That's your infection right here. Okay? And you are going to die a horrible death because of your sin. I don't know if you know this. Write that down. Okay, but yeah, that's the deal here. And the whole story is basically you're infected, it's sin. And if you make a fatal decision not to get the cure, which is anybody? Jesus, hello, yeah, we know that, right? Okay, you're good. But if you don't, this is what's going to happen. The last part of this track here, got a picture for you. The last part of this track is this. So if you refuse Jesus, which is the gift, the cure of God, if you refuse this, you will hear Jesus say this word. Because he's Jewish, he's going to say this. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Obviously, he's British Jewish, so that's why he's got ye cursed into eternal fire. But this is the track. And the big idea is don't make this what? Fatal decision. That's it, friends. Now, I'm not mocking this. Okay, I'm sort of mocking this, okay? But I just wanted you to know that I have the tension. I have the tension between, I understand the point of this message. I understand the point of why they would do this. But somewhere there's a big difference between the point of the message and the practice of the message. It has lost its meaning. And so now when we get tracts, people avoid them like the plague. And we do this. And there are people who have a deep sense of they need to do something to spread the gospel, to spread the hope by giving these tracts out. Oh, gosh. Right. But because this is how it is. This is what it works like. This is what it has come down to. This is how we tell people. And so this conversation that I want to have with you is about how you cannot deny, regardless of where your spiritual journey is or has you right now, there is no way you can avoid this big idea that regardless of where you are spiritually, God wants to use you to help the person right next to you in your life, where you work. He wants to use you to help people spiritually. So what I mean by that is that if you've walked in, you're like, I don't even believe some of this stuff. I don't believe any of this stuff. I'm just here. I'm not quite sure. I don't even know about my faith. I wrestle with questions about faith. I have my serious doubts. Regardless of that space, wherever that space is, wherever that place is, regardless of where you are, God still wants to use you to inspire other people to grow in their faith as you're growing in your faith. And so what I mean by that is God wants you to go, hey, you don't need to figure out something. I'm just going to let you know here, you're wired up to actually bring people along and invite people as a part of your journey because you and I were wired that way. Like, let me explain this way. A couple of years ago, I got to speak at TEDx, which is a part of a TED Talks. If you've probably seen them online. And so TEDx is a regional thing. And so I spoke there. And they invited me back to kick it off again the next year. And then after that, they asked me to be the coach or one of the coaches for the speakers. So I'm a coach for the TEDx speakers in Charlotte. And it's been really a great, great experience. Last year, in the middle of the day, as speakers were presenting, I was in the backstage because I was hanging out with the speakers. And the presenter invited me up and I just called me up. From the back, and I'm like, "What am I doing? What are you doing? What am I doing here?" And she was like, "Come on!" I'm like, "Don't!" I'm like, "I don't have a talk. I don't have a big idea. What are you doing?" And he's like, "Just come on up." I'm like, "Okay." So he brings me up, and he really humbles me. I mean, he honors me, and he's like, "Hey, if you enjoyed any of the speakers, Naeem Fazel with the coaches, can you give it up for him?" And da da da. And then he gives me the mic. And he's like, "Oh, by the way, he's the pastor of Mosaic Church, and we got Mosaic in the house." And people start making some noise. They're like, "Woo, woo!" People just like making noises. And then he was like, "Hey, this doesn't count as a church service. You need to go to his church." I was like, "This is TEDx." And then he hands me the mic, and I'm like, I say something, and I left that moment. And I gotta tell you, 2 years ago, the highlight of that experience was I get to present. But I'll tell you what, honestly, this last time, the bigger highlight for me, I realized, was actually coaching the speakers. Because you know and I know, it's one thing to be focused on writing your own story, living your own life. But man, does it fulfill you to be a part of someone else's story. You love that. We love that. It doesn't even matter how much you can talk about yourself. But if someone else is talking about you, you're like, yes. I love that. I love that. It's wired in into our DNA, this idea of contributing and being significant in people's lives. You see, so many of us think that we need to live in the history books. No, we need to live in the hearts and lives of people. It's not about what people write about us. It's about who tells our story and what story we're a part of. That's really the joy. You know this, and I know this. As parents, if you're a parent here, you understand that. If you've been in a long-term relationship, in a friendship, you understand, man, being significant in someone else's life, in their journey, is so fulfilling. And that is why this series is so important, because God knows how you're wired up, and he wants to use you to influence people for him. And guess what? The good news is, it doesn't matter if you have it figured out or not. He's going to use you where you are and who you are. He's just going to use you. Let me read you a passage of scripture, because it's you can't like move away from that. In fact, it's in 2 Corinthians verses 5. I'm going to read verses 19, but we're going to spend most of our time this morning in chapter 5. But verse 19, in fact, let's do this. Can we do this? Let's read it out loud, okay? Let's read out here, Metro, online. If you're, I don't know what you're doing, you might be hanging out, chilling out. Maybe you're going for a run and watching this. I don't know. If you're driving, some people are driving and watching online stuff. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, don't do that, but it's cool though. Anyways, okay. Okay, so we're gonna read this out loud together. All right, can we do that? All right, 1, 2, 3. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Wow. Okay, i.e., not this. It's a wonderful message of reconciliation. He has given us this. He's no longer counting people's sin. He wants to give you the best news that you could ever tell someone. He says, I just want you to just tell people about it. Just tell people about it. It's undeniable that you and I have to confront this idea of how am I using my resources, my life, my time, my words, to tell people about this hope that is truly for all. So here's what I want to do. I want to make a case. I want to present to you a different way of looking at what it means to be used by God in spreading this message of hope. It starts with understanding what this hope is all about. It's about grasping the message. And I intentionally, like I said before, I intentionally talked about 1 John. And we talked 3 weeks about how God is light and God is life and God is love, because I wanted you to understand this message of hope. And if there's any ambiguity here, this message of hope is this. It is filled with grace and it's fueled by love. So understand this, that what you are, what God is saying, I want you to share, is actually fueled. It's fueled by love and it's filled with grace. Why is it filled with grace? It's filled with grace because God's saying, hey, I don't need you to be perfect. I don't need you to be perfect when it comes to sharing this message. I don't need you to do that. I need you to understand there's so much grace involved in this that you can totally fumble. You can totally not be sure of some things. And it's okay. But all you need to understand is this, that this hope we have is God, this God who has pursued us. I mean, that's the message. God, in pursuing us, has come in the form of Christ Jesus to redeem, restore all of humanity. And when we have a relationship with him, we have eternal life. We have access to this eternal life here and there, now and forever. And I don't understand sometimes when people twist this to make it all about hey, hell, do you know there are more, I think people want to send people to hell more than God does. Like, I think it's become about that. It's not a message of grace, and it sometimes is void of love altogether. Why is that? I don't know. I don't get this. I think partly is because we believe that there's a pressure on us to make the sale. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been to a place where they're trying to make the sale? They're trying to close the deal? Have you heard those expressions? I've heard those in the world I live in the Christian world. I mean, I had a guy say to me flat out, he's like, dude, you don't close the deal. Like, you don't close the sale. And what he means by that is, he's like, you talk about all this stuff and you don't close it. And I'm like, I know. I don't know what is wrong with me. I just don't believe it's a sale. I'm not selling anything. I'm just talking about this hope that I have. This hope that's filled with love. It's filled with love. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. It's all that. Let me read you the 2 Corinthians verses chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, right? It says here, 13, it says, if we seem we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all died to our old self. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. See, I think for some of us, we have lost this idea. We've lost this idea of what it means to share this news. Now, if you've ever heard of the term evangelist, anybody heard of that? Or evangelism, right? Have you ever heard of drive-by evangelism? Okay, when you look like me, okay, now what I mean by that is most people don't look at me and go, clergy. Right? They just don't. Yoga instructor. Yes. Yes. And some of you guys are like, right, that's it. Whatever. Okay? Where was I? Yoga. Yes, yeah, sorry. So when it comes to people talking to me about Jesus, it's hilarious. So here's what happens. And I do this on purpose, okay? Judge me later. When there are people who are trying to evangelize, there may be people who are just excited about God and maybe they'll come to my door or handing out a tract or sometimes it's, you know, just college kids who are trying to, like, they're kind of talking to people about Jesus. When they talk to me, I pretend like I don't know Jesus. So I'm like, hey, so tell me about them. Tell me about him. And they go, this guy's a Muslim. What are we going to do? This guy's for sure Naeem Fazel. I mean, look at him. I mean, he's going to be a Muslim. So some don't even try. They go, oh, no, not him. Some people have done this. They're like, they're going to drive by evangelize me. Okay. So what they're going to do is it's going to be pop, pop, pop really quick and keep on going. Okay. Because they don't know. They don't even know. So I might be, we're not even having a conversation. All of a sudden, they give me a track. Or they go, hey, did you know about Jesus? And they'd make it really quick. You know, he died for your sins, da, 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 da. Okay, you don't believe. All right, that's good. All right, keep on going. Because they don't know what to do. They don't understand what to do. And I get it because it's fueled by, hey, you've got to, like we said, make a sale. Now, I know for most of you, that's not your experience. Your experience has been this. When you've heard the gospel, you've heard the good news, there's only two ways that you've most likely heard it. It's either the bribe of heaven or the fear of hell. The gospel's always been presented like that. Even to me, it was the reward of paradise or it was the fear of, guess what? You're infected, you're going to die. You're going to lake of fire. Do you know what that is? That's a sales pitch. That's marketing 101. Buy now. Do it now. Space is limited. Product is limited. If you miss this sale, you're not, if this is going to, that's marketing. What do you do? You tap into people's fears. That's what you do. You scare. I have people told me this. I have pastors said, hey, here's the point. The point is to scare the hell out of them. I was like, that's hilarious, number one, right? And that's so not God, right? But we go, hey, if we scare them, it's great. Because fear is a motivator. Of course it's a motivator. Of course fear is a motivator. It motivates us to do all kinds of things. How many of you have ever done something out of fear? Out of desperation, anxiety? Yeah, most of those things are not good. How many people have done something out of a reward or a bribe? Sign up now, you get 10% off. You're like, all these credit cards. I don't even know why I opened up another. Why? Because it was like, I could get 15% off on this one. You do it. So there's the gospel, the hope is presented as a, hey, your life stinks right now, right? So let me just tell you, it's going to get upgraded. Woo! If you do this. And sometimes the message of Jesus is, sign up with Jesus, it's going to be a cruise, my friends. And it's not true at all. At all. And let me tell you why it's the most detrimental. When you think of even if you buy in, if you've ever bought into, or if you ever think that this idea that God wants to use you is connected to this marketing plan, or this idea of like you need to scare people or to bribe them. Let me tell you why. Because if you've ever started a relationship out of fear or a reward or a benefit, it is not a relationship. And you know this. If you ever entered into that, you only enter into those because it's a contract, never a relationship. And so, friends, this hope that we have is not a contract. It's not insurance. It's none of those things. It's a relationship with God. It's inviting God, inviting people into a relationship with the one who's trying to get their attention already. You see, this hope that we have is filled with grace. It's filled with grace. And it is fueled by love. Have you ever been on a plane and you get the seats right next to the emergency doors? Anybody? Have you ever gotten those? Okay. Now, it is the only time that they make you pay attention to what they're talking about, right? Have you ever sat there? Like recently I did. Now, usually I'm in my own zone, but I was sitting at this, and it's a catch-22. Number one, you do get more space. The only problem is sometimes they're sitting right next to you, right? Or then it's the interrogation. Do you know what I'm talking about? The interrogation. They'll come by. They go, sir, sitting here, 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 here. Are you willing and able to do da 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 da? And I did one time. I just did this, and they're like, no, no. I give a smile, thumbs up. No, no. I need a verbal. They need a verbal confirmation. Right? Sir, can you or can you not? Are you willing and able? Say yes. You know? And you have to say it. And man, there's every time I have that experience, I go, now I'm paranoid the whole flight. Now I'm like, it's gonna go down. And I don't know how to open that darn door. I don't know. I haven't read the thing. Is it up, down, side? What do you pull first? I don't know. How do you put the oxygen mask on you and then get to the door? Like, I think if I put it on, but it comes off, I'll be like, I'll just die or something. I'm freaked out about it. And I think when it comes to this faith deal, that's what we believe. Like, when it comes to this spreading the gospel or the message of hope, it's like you have to be willing and able to do this. And friends, I just need you to understand this. God just needs you to be willing. He'll make you able. You just have to be willing to step into the moments that God's called you to step into, to invite people in your life. It's simple as that. That's why it's filled with grace and it's fueled by love. But it's also this. It's also a new reality, and it's a spiritual, and it's, I'm sorry, a supernatural gift. This hope that we have is a new reality. It's a new way of looking at people and the world around us. 2 Corinthians 16 says this. It says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human perspective, a point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old life is gone. A new life has come. A new life has come. Basically, the writer here is saying is there's a new reality that you need to be aware of. So when you think of this message that you have, this invitation that you're trying to invite people to, don't think of it as a, hey, I got to know my stuff and I got to convince people. I got to convince people of what I believe. That's what I have to do. I have to convince them and I don't know my stuff and I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'll tell them to watch a movie. Maybe I'll tell them, give them a book. I don't know. They have questions that I don't have the answers to. Newsflash, people are always going to have questions that you're not going to have the answers to. Your goal and our goal should not be to have all the answers. We need to just ask the right questions. And sometimes it's all about asking the right questions in people's lives that leads them to a conversation with God and for them to evaluate what they really, truly believe. But it's a new way of looking at people. It is a totally different way. And it's also understanding what is going on with people's lives even now. When we look at people, what is going on? Because so often we can think, oh, you know, these people are religious people. That person is not religious. Some people have all actually said it, right? There will be people who say, hey, I'm not really religious. I don't do that. And what they mean is, I don't go to church. I don't do the thing. I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm not quite sure. I had one person, when I invited them, they were like, I have anxiety when I walk into church. I don't need that in my life. Okay, but she's going to be coming in the next couple of weeks, so it's going to be awesome. Okay, so I get that, but sometimes we forget, friends, we forget what God is doing in people's lives, and sometimes I wonder why we forget that. God is doing a new thing in us. We are no longer the same. And I know we struggle with the same things, but there's something different. There's a different work going on inside of us. And people can't see it. And guess what? You can't see what's happening in other people's lives as well. So this season is Lent, those of you who know. And so it goes all the way to Easter. And people give up certain things for Easter. Give up certain things for Lent, not Easter. So my wife, Ashley, she gave up. Here's what she's doing. She made her car her sanctuary. What does that mean? Is basically she's not listening to anything while she's in the car, because she realized she's always listening to certain things or listening to news or whatever, and she's like, I'm gonna make that a quiet space to make that the space where I just connect with God as I'm driving from one place to another. And I thought that was a great idea, but I'm not doing that. That's just too much. It's too much. It's too much. So I was like, I'm gonna give up something else. What do I give up? So then I decided I'm gonna give up this. Now, I'm going to tell you this, but don't judge me, okay? Okay, don't judge me. You get it? Because I'm going to judge you back too, okay? Okay, here's the thing. So I gave up not listening to non-Christian music, okay? You're like, what? You gave up what? No, so here's the thing. In my car, I don't listen to Christian music, Christian radio. I listen to the non-Christian radio. Don't judge me. I see those eyes, okay? Don't judge me. You're like, you're a pastor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're not. Okay, so whatever. Okay? And so I got to do what I got to do, okay? But I don't listen to Christian radio. I just don't do it. And so Lent, I said, I'm going to give up non-Christian radio, and I'm only going to listen to Christian radio. So I've been listening to only Christian radio in my car. Whew. Friends, it's been rough. If you're into Christian radio, I love you. And if you work for Christian radio, I support them. Hey, you're good. Okay. But I like to be happy, you know? So I don't listen to it. I don't listen to it. Okay. and non-sappy and cheesy. Anyways, whatever, okay? Everything is a cliche. Anyways, I'm not going to go into that. So I've been listening to just like good old Christian radio. It's been great. Not great. But anyways, so I hear like a teacher, Bible teacher, say something. And when he said it, I was like, it just kind of bugged. It just bugged me a little bit. I was like, it sounds so good. It sounds good, but it sounds incomplete. And I just don't misunderstand me. Okay, here's what he said. He said, I've never met a passionate follower of Jesus who isn't passionately in God's word every day. Now, some of you, or all of you, or many of you, or if you're listening, if you're a Metro, you're like, yeah, Naeem, that's true. Hello. First of all, stop with the attitude. Okay. The other is that I believe, I love the God's word. I believe all of that. But just stop here for a second and just think of that statement. That is a privileged statement. You're like, what? Yeah, that is a very privileged, if you live in the Western modern world, good for you, buddy. But there are millions of followers of Jesus who are extremely passionate, who don't have access to God's word, who don't have the freedom to read it and have coffee and sit down and have a quiet time. And there have been thousands upon thousands of people who've given their lives for the message and the purpose and the mission of Jesus who never owned the Bible. So let's not say stuff like that. You see why it bugged me? I was like, I don't like this. I'm going to go back. I'm going to listen to Kanye now. No, I'm not. I didn't do that. It's bugged me because we think, this is our reality. This is how God works. Let me tell you why this hope is so powerful and why God wants to invite you in spreading it. Because he's saying this, hey, I'm already talking to people. I'm already working in their lives. Why don't you just join the conversation? Why don't you just help them? You don't have to convince them. You don't have to persuade them. That is not your job. You don't have to make a sale. You don't have to close the deal. By the way, you are not the savior of the world. That job is taken. You just sow hope. Just sow seeds of hope. And that's it. You can't even make it grow. You just sow into the conversation. You just invite people into your life. Invite them into your group. Invite them to your church. Invite them into a conversation. That's all you have to do. What if we assumed that everyone was having a conversation with God, especially people who said they don't even believe? The reason why people insist to be called atheists is because there's something inside of them that says, keep telling yourself this, because there's a big part of you that does not believe it. That's what they have to identify, that I'm an atheist. No, your mind tells you that, but your soul, who is wired up for God, is telling you something else. That's where you're drawn to things that don't make any sense. And friends, Paul said it best. He said, hey, if my preaching, if my talks, if my sermons are with wise and persuasive words, if they're wise and persuasive words, then your faith is going to rest on human wisdom. But if my preaching is based on God's power, then your faith is going to rest on God's power. And friends, we have to move away from trying to convince and persuade. You just have to sow seeds because it's a new reality. God is doing a new thing. And it's a supernatural gift. Supernatural gift. Let me read you verses 18 through 21. And it says this. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people himself. Verse 19, which we read. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his plea through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God, who made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so we could be made right with God through Christ. You see, friends, this gift is one of power, of authority, and responsibility. It's not up to us. It's just we have to step into it and be willing to be a part of the conversation. And it's just about sowing seeds. I was in a restaurant last week, and I was trying to finish up my sermon, my talk for that week. And I walked up to order something in line, and this person walked up to me, and she was like, "Hey, have you been here before? Can I help you with the menu?" And I realized she was the owner, and so we had a conversation. And she was like, "Hey, have you tried our new soup? It's come out." And I was like, "No, I'm not into soup. I didn't want to order soup." You know what I'm saying? There's soup days, and there are not soup days. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And so I'm like, she's like, "I'll get you one." I was like, "Okay, get me one. That's great." So I ordered my food. She brought me a soup. She was like, "Oh, how's it taste? Amazing. That's great." Eventually, she was talking to other people. And then she just comes and she sits down right there. And I'm on my computer. I'm busy working. And she goes, "Hey, so where do you live?" I was like, "Oh, we're doing this. Okay. So have you ever done the whole close? I'm like, "Oh, we're okay." And I'm like, "Oh, I live in Huntersville." And she's like, "Oh, okay. And she's like, what do you do?" And I was like, why do you need to do this? Do we have to? What do you do? You know what I'm saying? What do you really do? You know? Because, you know, with me is when you say that, when I tell you what I do, then it ends the conversation. It really does. It makes it weird. It makes it so super weird. Okay? So I go, "Oh, I work for a church." She goes, "Oh, really? What church?" I was like, "Mosaic." She's like, "Oh, I think I've heard about that." "Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. So what do you do there?" "Not bug people. That's what I don't do." You know? I was like, "Well, I talk." She's like, "You talk." I was like, "Yeah, talk. Talk." And then she said, so you're clergy." And I was like, "You know what? I think you're right. Yeah, I would be clergy. I mean, right now we're trying to figure out my life right there, you know?" She was like, "So you're clergy." I was like, "Yeah. Yeah, I'm clergy. Yeah." She's just like, "Oh, okay. So it's a Christian church?" I was like, "Yeah." She was, "Okay, yeah." She's like, "Well, I'm agnostic. I don't believe in institutionalized religion or anything like that." I said, "Oh, okay." And then I thought, okay, I'm gonna switch here. I go, "Hey, so what does that mean to you?" She's like, "What does that mean to me?" I said, "What does that mean to you?" And she basically said, I just came from this institutionalized religion of Christianity and this and that, and I don't know if I believe in Jesus being the way. I don't know if I believe all of that. I just believe that people..." And she just gave me all kinds of her thoughts. And I go, "Oh, wow, that's fascinating. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, man, I totally understand that. Oh, okay. Oh, wow." And she was like... I think she was waiting for me to defend and I said, "You know, my story is kind of crazy because I actually grew up in a Muslim faith, and then I kind of have kind of this crazy supernatural experience with Jesus, and now I'm a Christian pastor." She was like, "Oh, wow. Yeah." I said, "Yeah, you know, it's amazing how God is working in all of us, and I think he's trying to point us to what he has done. And I think it has something to do with this message of Jesus, honestly. And I know it's more complicated than just being in church or being a church person. I think it's a little bit more complicated, but I'm so glad you're in this." And she's like, "Yeah." I said, "You know what you should do? Are you on Instagram?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, you should follow me." And she's like, "Yeah?" I said, "Yeah, get your phone out." She started following me. I was like, "Yeah, I'm Naeem Fazel. This is me. It's great. This is it." And I just wanted to make sure that she was like, has access to something that I would say on Instagram. Because my thought was, I'm not going to do anything but just let her know that there's a conversation going on that is so powerful that she needs to lean into. And I want to make sure that I just put myself in a place that if she was ever, and you never know, God's going to use this, is that she'll be on Instagram one day and she will hear or see or watch something that will continue this growing the seed of God in her soul. And friends, it's as simple as that. And I cannot tell you people, how many people have come to me 2, 5, 10, 20 years. And they've said, hey, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, you said you did this. It is amazing how God is working. All you and I have to do is just step into those moments. So will you? Hey, let me pray for us. Can we do that? Let's stand together. Lord God, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you, Lord God, for this conversation. I thank you, Lord, for so many of us. It is something that we need to embrace. And so, God, I pray that we do that. I pray that, God, in Jesus' name, regardless where we are, that we would embrace this mission that you've called us to. And that you would give all of us, Lord, names and faces of people that we need to invite into our lives, into our spiritual journey. God, I know there are people who need to invite others to Metro. It's something we just need to do. We need to move past all this pressure and fear. We just invite them into this conversation. God, here as well, or even online, to share these messages, to share this whole service online. God, all we need to do is be willing, because you will make us able. God, I pray we have the courage to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.